Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. Welcome into the Gabe Coombe Show. I am Connor Dunning, former Memphis Tiger videographer, filling in for Gabe Coombe while he is out. You can find me at CDunning929 on X and Twitter. I'm also over on Blue Sky. Just search Connor Dunning and I should pop up. The Memphis Tigers have won 11 games for the second time in program history after taking down West Virginia in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. It was a bit of an ugly finish, but the Memphis Tigers prevailed. Another victory over a P4 school this year. Second straight victory over a Big 12 school in a bowl game. We're going to do a special Memphis Tigers football edition of Overreaction, Not an Overreaction, to recap the season, talk about legacies, talk about the future of Memphis football. I'm very excited to have Zoe Goodson on, men's basketball coach at Rhodes College. He'll be live in studio at about 4:25. I want to talk to him about NIL and the impact it has had in college athletics, because I'm not sure everybody knows this out there. Rhodes College was the first D3 program in the country to implement NIL, and Zoe has a lot of experience at the D1 level. He was one of Tubby Smith's best assistant coaches for a long time. He was assistant coach at Memphis before he became the head coach at Rhodes. He's doing a fantastic job over there, so I think he could give us a lot of very good insight about the impact of NIL. David Cobb from CBS Sports is going to be after that at 5 o'clock to talk Memphis' football season, preview the Memphis Tigers basketball game tonight versus Virginia, and then there have been some very concerning numbers coming out for Ohio State about the amount of Tennessee Volunteer fans that's going to be in the stadium for that playoff game. David and I will joke about that here in just a little bit at 5 o'clock. Then we'll get into the Blitz and then wrap up the show. As always, I am joined by the Honorable King George, the Italian George, George Ruggiero. You can find him on Twitter at KingGeorge94. George, how would you feel about being drowned with coffee after a big bowl win?
I feel like there are worse things you could be drenched in based on what we know other coaches get drenched in after bowl wins. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Namely, Duke's mayonnaise.
Yes, that is why I think the funniest tweet that I saw about the Bill Belichick era at UNC that is beginning is that there is a real possibility that we look up a year from now and Bill Belichick is getting dumped with mayo after a bowl victory. And if that happens, it would just be one of the funniest things I think that would ever happen in sports. But we do have a lot to discuss with Memphis Tigers, so let's go ahead and get into Overreaction, Not an Overreaction.
Connor, Memphis football had a successful football season. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
That is the question of the day. It has been the question of the year for Memphis football. I am going to say overreaction, but not by much. Overreaction, but not by much. It pretty much just a little bit, just okay. A little overreaction to say that it was a successful football season. Successful is the word that we're going to focus on here. Did Memphis football ultimately achieve the goal of making it to a conference championship and winning one? No. We said all season the bar for success for Memphis football this season, given the talent that they had, the returning players that they had, the NIL funds that they had, They should have made it to the conference championship game. So no. Is it fair to be disappointed in that? Absolutely. Does that mean there is in no way this season can't be remembered fondly? No. This season, despite them not reaching the bar of success, was still a good football season for Memphis football. Still a good football season. I think that we can remember it fondly as the years go on. Memphis football accomplished a lot this year while still falling short of the ultimate goal. They won two games against P4 schools, Florida State. You beat your old coach and Mike Norvell. Huge victory. I understand that Florida State sucks. They stink. I get it. But you still got to win over Mike Norvell. You still got to win over a P4 program in the ACC. That matters because of the resources they have, the players that they had. It doesn't matter that they stink. It was still a big victory that you beat Florida State, especially at the point in the year. Context matters. At that time, it felt like a huge victory. I'm not necessarily going to say that it's not anymore. It mattered at the time, and I still think it matters now. You got to win over West Virginia. They're 6-6. They're going through a lot of change. Sure. Same deal, though. Big 12 school. A lot of resources. A lot of funds.
Good players.
Memphis took care of business. Was it ugly at the end? Yes. Were there some coaching decisions that were questionable? Yes. We'll talk about that here in just a few items.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Memphis had a good season. 10 wins in back-to-back seasons for Memphis football. First time in program history. 11 wins for the second time in program history. Seth Hennigan broke records, not only at Memphis, but in the American. This is a very nuanced conversation, which is rare to do in college athletics nowadays. It is hard to have nuanced conversations when you are talking about football, basketball. There are a lot of emotions, a lot of expectations, especially for a school like Memphis. On one side, you have people saying the expectation has changed for Memphis football. It has now been a decade of success. We are in the quote-unquote golden era of Memphis football. We need to keep the momentum running. I would also say I was here before this golden era. Born and raised Memphian. Watched a lot of Memphis football games. Used to work at these football games when I was a little kid. Very few people would be at that Liberty Bowl. It was rough. The D'Angelo years were good. Win prime years were good. They were okay. They were fun. But I remember the conversations about, should Memphis even have a football program? Those Larry Porter years were dark. Really dark. I couldn't imagine Memphis football turning into what it did at that time. The turnaround has been tremendous. So I understand people that are saying, appreciate what you have now, because that's what it used to be and what it could still be. But at the same time, the expectations have changed. The resources have changed. The talent level has changed. And the reasons to be successful have changed. You need to be successful to get out of this conference. We have talked to a lot of people about it the last few days. You're seeing it happen in North Carolina right now. Basketball, it can be the heart, the beating heart of your school. Memphis, most people would say, the city of Memphis bleeds Memphis basketball. And I wouldn't disagree with you. But the way to make it to a better conference, the way to lift up this program, this athletic department moving forward, is through the success of football. And 11 wins isn't bad. It's not some massive blunder that people are trying to make it be. There's been a lot of dramatic takes going around today about Memphis football and this season. Is there disappointment? Yes. Was it still a good football season? Yes. It is so rare in college sports today to have a four-year player like Seth Hennigan. 4 years. It is so rare to have four-year guys outside of Seth Hennigan, which they had. Guys stuck around. Rock Taylor, Demir Blankensee. Huge transfer portal wins. Mario Anderson Jr., who we'll talk about in a little bit. Elijah Herring, transfer. That matters. Memphis football had a good season. Was it successful? Ultimately what they wanted to be? No. But was it good? Yes. It was absolutely a good season. High graduation rates matter. Good GPAs matter. Public engagement matters. They represented the city well. That matters. Did they win the games they should have? No. Is there reasons to criticize? Absolutely. But can you call the season bad? By no means. By no means can you call the season bad. You can be disappointed in it. I don't mind saying it wasn't successful in the way that it should have been. But it was a good season. And they ultimately fell short of the goal. And that is why I can't call it a successful one. but I am going to call it a good one.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment completely. It's one that we hear, especially on these airwaves, have heard a lot over the last couple weeks from one Jeff Calkins, saying that you can differentiate between good and successful. Those are two different things. 11 wins in a season is nothing to snub your nose at.
Gabe had an interesting tweet last night, and we'll have Gabe on tomorrow.
Yes.
He'll be on the show tomorrow. Very excited to talk to him. About if you went up to a Memphis fan during this offseason and you said 11 wins is going to happen this year, second time in program history, would you take that deal? And I agreed with a lot of the responses. I would absolutely take that deal because in no way could you imagine an 11-win season without an appearance in the American Conference
sure.
championship game. There were odd circumstances around it.
Absolutely.
If you beat UTSA, are you in that game? Probably. But Army also had a cakewalk of a schedule. One of the easiest schedules we've ever seen. Army's coach was on with Gabe on his podcast, G5 Classified, and they talked about how easy of a schedule it was. That was part of the deal of coming to the American. It was easy for him. But that is why I'm not going to tell you how to feel, but I also encourage you not to tell others how to feel. I don't think that it was a quote-unquote successful season because my bar for success was the conference championship, at minimum. It wasn't the college football playoff. That was always a fun possibility.
Sure.
But let's be honest about it. The season that Boise had, they were going to be there anyway. They were going to be there anyway. There's no way you would have made it to the college football playoff. You would have been in the conversation. It would have made great radio. It would have helped us out.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, I don't think you would have gotten there. So that is why I think it is fully possible to hold space for both recognizing the achievements of this season while also acknowledging they did not hit the bar for quote-unquote success.
Seth Hennigan is the best Memphis quarterback of all time. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
This is an overreaction. But it's not a bad overreaction.
No.
Seth Hennigan, in my opinion, deserves a spot on the Mount Rushmore. I put him third. I think Paxton, probably number one. Riley, who is one of the more underrated players somehow in Memphis football history, I would have Riley number two. I think Hennigan's number three. Brady White, probably four.
I think that's fair.
Wim Prime, he'd be the fifth head on the Rushmore. Fifth head, no doubt about it. Wim Prime was amazing when he was here. They just didn't win many football games. They just didn't. So I can't put him on the Mount Rushmore. Seth Hennigan is the only FBS QB to start at one school at all 4 years since 2021. That's incredible. His loyalty matters. It means something. He helped stabilize this program. He showed up every single game for you. Did he have some games where you wish he was a little bit better? Sure. Most of the time, though, you could depend on Seth Hennigan. Last night, he was awesome. He was awesome last night.
I think you just said it to me. The one main defining word or quality that Hennigan brought you. Stability, dependability, reliability, game in and game out, week in, season out, you knew what you were getting at the quarterback position. And for, like you said, a program that is, in a way, on the rise, that is incredibly important.
Seth didn't have the big game wins as some of the others did, but his legacy to me is cemented. And that legacy is loyalty and stability, like you said. He was so important to this program, and he chose to stay at Memphis, and that means something to me. It means something to me that somebody chose Memphis. They chose it. What's the saying, George? You hug Memphis, it's going to hug you back. It's time for us to hug Seth Hennigan back. And I know that we have been. But he's the only FBS quarterback to start at a school for 4 years since 2021. That's an accomplishment. It is. It means something. Seth was a pro here. Steady, reliable. Always a presence you can count on. Will he get drafted? Maybe. I think it's an interesting conversation, George. You and I were having this before the show.
Yeah.
Solid, patient quarterback in an era where you don't have many pocket passers. We talked about it yesterday. Some of the more successful quarterbacks in the NFL right now are the ones that stay in that pocket. Seth Hennigan can do that. He's got a little bit of mobility, not much. Pretty good arm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get a coach, like one of the better coaches in the NFL with Seth Hennigan, not bad. Not a bad prospect to have in that quarterback room. I'm rooting for him. Here's some of the records, though, that Seth Hennigan has. 104 touchdowns, Memphis record. Tied first in the AAC. Top 30 in NCAA history. First in passing yards, 14,266. Once again, first in touchdowns, 104. First in pass completions, 1,147. 34-16 record. The record is what pops out.
Yeah.
That record was, you know, 40-10. Maybe we're having different conversations. Maybe he is at the top of that list. But Seth Hennigan,
with some of those losses that you were turning into wins, we're talking about the program, I think, as a whole,
yeah,
a little differently.
Yeah, his first two seasons were rough. That's why he was a stabilizing factor. He was him staying was a big, big deal, especially during those in-between years when Silverfield was still getting rolling. Seth was something that you could rely on every single time. I think Seth deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of Memphis quarterbacks. I don't think he is the best Memphis quarterback of all time. Stats-wise, yes. I get it. Best quarterback. The wins ultimately do matter. Mm-hmm. Showing up in big moments ultimately do matter. He may not have even been the most talented Memphis quarterback. I don't know if it's Paxton or Riley. Riley was so underrated, man. So underrated. But Seth Hennigan deserves a spot on the Memphis quarterback Mount Rushmore.
Ryan Silverfield is clearly the long-term solution for Memphis as a head coach.
Overreaction. Ryan has improved almost every season record-wise. And much like Seth, he helped stabilize Memphis football. Sure. You aren't going to crater with Ryan Silverfield, but can you reach your ultimate goals, your major goals with Ryan Silverfield? We have yet to see it. That question continues. And we were hoping heading into this season, after the extension, 10 wins, had momentum, big win against Iowa State, returning players, everything going your way. You hope that those questions would be answered. You hope that by the end of the season, I would say, not an overreaction. He is the long-term solution. I like Ryan Silverfield a lot. I do. I think it matters that he keeps people on campus. I think it matters that he graduates guys at a high rate. Their GPA is fantastic. He's a good leader of men. And that is ultimately what a college football coach needs to be. The players love him. They played in that bowl game last night. And they played hard.
Yeah.
And you could tell they played for him. Didn't have many opt-outs. You can't say that about West Virginia. Can't say that about most bowl teams. Can't say that. Guys love playing for Ryan Silverfield, and that matters. It does. However, I'm not sure you can say he is a long-term solution. He's a very good recruiter in the portal and with NIL in the Wild Wild West era. It is good to have a coach that can navigate those waters well, and Ryan Silverfield can do that. Where the questions come in, though, are on the field. It's during the game, winning big games, decisions at the end of games, being aggressive, which I will say they were last night. They were pretty aggressive last night until they weren't. And I think that is the ultimate question for Ryan Silverfield. It is, his critics are going to be critical, and we're going to have questions about him until he reaches that American Championship game. And I can't disagree with him until he does that. He has to do that. And next year, that's the true test next year. We're going to find out. I think he's a good football coach. But does Memphis need a great football coach?
That's the question that every team or every program has on the tip of their tongue right now, especially with all the coaching, you know, coaches moving around with NIL, with recruiting, with the transfer portal. There's going to at some point be that line of delineation between a good head coach and a great head coach.
He has improved every year. Mostly.
Correct.
Mostly improved every year. But he has dropped games that he shouldn't have. We've been frustrated with some of the play calls. We've been frustrated with the defense. It's been a lot of, we're going to do this. And then some of that stuff hasn't happened. Just every year I feel like I hear, the defense is going to be the best it's ever been. Nope.
We even saw that last night at times.
I do believe in Ryan Silverfield, though. I want him to be the long-term solution for Memphis. I want him to be. But next year's going to be the test. New QB. Mostly new offensive weapons.
Yeah.
He's doing well recruiting. He's doing well in the portal. But can you have success without your four-year guy, Seth Hennigan? Can you have success without him? We shall see. That'll be the test. If next year they can make it to that conference championship game, which I still think the expectation should be that, if he can make it there, the questions will be answered. I'm rooting for that to happen. I want nothing more in this world than for Memphis football to be in that American Championship game. but that has to happen. You earned your extension last year, no doubt about it. 10 wins, big deal. Huge win over Iowa State in the bowl game. 11 wins this season, that means something. Good season, good season. But is it the long-term solution for Memphis? I unfortunately can't tell you yes right now, and I wish I could.
The Memphis running back run is more impressive than the quarterback run.
Man.
Overreaction? Not an overreaction.
I'm going to say not an overreaction. Crazy enough, not an overreaction, y'all.
I'm with
you. Not an overreaction.
100%.
I'm going to run through the Memphis running backs the last few years because good friend Mark Giannotto pointed out how unbelievable it's been that Memphis has gone from Paxton Lynch to Riley Ferguson to Brady Wright to Seth Hennigan and TBD Antoine Hill Jr. He could be the next one. I think we all hope he can be. If he is, hey, might be in that championship game next year. Also a couple of transfer quarterbacks that have been in the mix for Memphis.
One of them.
But when you look at that running back room and who they have had the last few seasons, Tony Pollard, Darrell Henderson, Antonio Gibson, Kenny Gainwell, Blake Watson, Brandon Thomas, Mario Anderson Jr. Mario Anderson Jr. One of the most underrated Memphis players we've had in a very long time. Didn't get the love I think he deserved. I talked to Christian Fowler about it yesterday.
Phenomenal.
It's been unbelievable for Memphis. 1,300 yards, 18 touchdowns, 300 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns receiving. Steady force. Bull! He had like 250-plus runs for Memphis. Unreal season. Did some things we haven't seen a Memphis running back do since. I don't know if you know this guy, D'Angelo Williams. Heard of him?
Yeah, you know, I've heard the name a couple times.
Impressive.
Very.
That's why it's been funny today. A lot of people have been pointing out, like, you know, people have said kicker you, wide receiver you. Can't really say quarterback you. These guys don't do well in the NFL, unfortunately.
No.
Running back you, though, very well, very real. Tony Pollard, Darrell Henderson, Antonio Gibson, Kenny Gainwell, Blake Watson, Brandon Thomas, Mario Anderson. By the way, very, very happy for Brandon Thomas getting that touchdown last night. Mm-hmm. He's been a workhorse for this Tigers team. Works his ass off. Very happy to see that happen for him. I'm going to say yes. I think the running back run that they have had has just been slightly more impressive than the quarterback one. Both, though, kind of a miracle. Both have been a bit of a miracle. It's been unreal, the level of talent Memphis has been able to have. Really. That's going to be it for overreaction, not an overreaction. When we come back, I'm very excited about this. Live in studio, Rhodes men's basketball coach So Goodson is going to join me. Stick around. Listen to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Coombs Show on 99 FM ESPN.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, been a long time since I heard this song. Have you ever been to a men's basketball game over at Rhodes College? You know what this song means. This is the intro for one of my very good friends, Zoe Goodson, head men's basketball coach over at Rhodes College. You can find him on Twitter at Zoe Goodson. Zoe, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm great. How are you? It's great to see you, man.
I'm doing all right. Rhodes this season, 5-5 so far on the year.
Yep.
But as always, nothing has ever changed, dealing with a ton of injuries.
Always, man. It's like the rite of passage as a first-time head coach, I guess. Is your first time through, wherever you are, you're going to stay with a ton of injuries early on. But we're getting healthy now. Max gets back next week. He just got cleared yesterday. So we'll get back next week, and we think we're going to get Xavier back in a couple weeks as well. So we're turning the corner, got all of our guys back from previous to that. So, and we got some other really good things cooking, so we're excited about the future.
Well, y'all got a great player in Trevor Lombard, two-time player of the week, only school in the SAA has two-time player of the week. I remember going to battle for some of the guys, trying to get them voted in there. It can be difficult.
Finally turn a corner on that.
It can be difficult. But as always, number one defense in the league.
That's right.
You got your guys. They show up on defense. Top three in three-point field goals made. Top three in team offensive rebounds. Top five score in the SAA. Big wins over two conference opponents by 20-plus.
Yep.
That's always nice to see. Yep. And then the strength of schedule, I think, is really interesting. Because you're 5-5,
yep,
but a top 40 strength of schedule in the country.
That's right, in the country. So That was by design. You know, we went into this season, we knew we were really excited about the talent. We were really excited about the guys. And we knew at the end of the year, you know, we made the championship game. We turned a corner. Those freshmen played a lot of minutes last year, and they got better as the year went. And so we knew that they were older sophomores, you know, with the minutes that they played. So by design, we had a lot of seniors for the first time. I mean, you experienced this with me. We were always so underclassmen.
So young.
Full, right? And for the first time in my coaching career, we were upperclassmen heavy. So we, you know, by design, we scheduled, you know, we played Wash U twice, who has been number two and number three in the country. We played three or four top 50 opponents, three other top 50 opponents. We got another, they'll probably be top 50 by Friday. And the MPI is kind of our net ranking. You know, we call it MPI in Division III and in Huntington. And so we did this on purpose. You know, some people would say I'm a glutton for punishment, and at the same time, we had to get ready, right? If we want to win the league, which is our goal, we have to play tough opponents in the non-con. And we didn't want a cupcake schedule. We wanted to go out and see where we really were. We wanted to see where we were on the national stage. The goal is to win the league, but we have bigger dreams than that, too.
Knowing you, too, you want to see what these young guys can do. Throw them into the fire.
No doubt.
Throw them into the fire. And it's so far, it seems like they're showing up on defense.
We are.
Only losing by six to the number two team in the country, but the injuries that y'all have sustained this season is impressive.
We've kept almost, literally, I think it's all but one opponent under their average.
Oh, wow.
Every game. And so we take a lot. You've been to my practices, man. You know how much
they are intense.
They're intense, and they're battles, and you know, we get after it, but, you know, we spend a lot of time defensively on the floor.
I did want to get into, though, because Rhodes College was a bit of a trailblazer in Division III.
Yep.
And right before I left and came back to 929, conversations about NIL were really getting rolling yep. with D3, and specifically Rhodes College. And I think the larger conversation was, is it going to be worth it to bring NIL to D3? And it turns out Rhodes College, first D3 program in the country to have NIL. I do want to ask you, was there any pushback from the rest of Division III? Because the first team that does it is going to change the landscape of it forever.
I don't know that we got pushback, nor do I think we really cared when we went out to do it. We were looking out for the student athlete, as myself, Kim House, and of course our athletic director, Jim Duncan. We met with a lot of different folks that were tied in with Rhodes, and we showed them our vision of, you know, we need to take advantage of this also for our student athletes. It's not about anything other than making sure we're giving them every opportunity that they deserve at the Division III level that the Division I and Division II athletes get. And so when we teamed up with Mogul, and they gave us an opportunity to be the first Division III school in the country to have a platform for their student athletes, an NIL platform for their student athletes. And our guys, you know, on the basketball team have taken great advantage of it, you know, and we've had guys in the past that have several deals. Sometimes it's gear or gift cards, and sometimes it is money. But at the end of the day, what it is, it's basically a platform where they go in, they build their resume, and it's almost like a social media type platform, but it's between them and businesses. So these mogul goes out and they get whoever they can, whether it's a DoorDash or whatever, to offer up some deals, and they post it, and then our guys go in and they apply for it. And so it's a really good, unique platform for these student athletes, but it goes beyond just the current NIL deal. We've had several of our student athletes that got a deal, met certain folks through their NIL deal, and then got their internship, or in our case, one of our current basketball players got a job with the company that gave him an NIL deal while he was a senior. And so it goes way – and this is where NIL is way bigger than what people just see, those contracts and the money.
Right.
Right. This is an opportunity for these student-athletes to network and grow beyond just getting a check. Right. And it's for us, our guys, they work really hard at what they do. You know, academics is first in everything that they do. They're looking at their career. They're going pro in their career. That's what they're looking at. And so our platform with Mogul and everything that they've done and teamed up with us has been great, and it's been great for our guys.
Yeah, I think there is a bit of a misconception about NIL, because I do think that a lot of people assume that it is the school telling the athlete what they can do, but it sounds like with this program, it really empowers the players to go after the type of deals they want to, and it can lead to careers, because like you said, it's no secret about it. D3 sports, most of these student-athletes are not going to go pro in basketball. You've had a few in the past. Yep. I mean, Wiley was one of the best players I've ever seen in D3. He was unbelievable.
He's on a max contract in Japan.
Look at him. Is he really?
Killing it. Killing it. Doing a great job. Kogi Wiley is absolutely killing it in Japan.
Good for him. But yeah, it sounds like that y'all are really trying to prepare these kids for what comes after college. And coming from a place like Rhodes College, it's already an opportunity in and of itself. But to be able to line their pockets a little bit too while they are going through all of it, because the schedules that these kids have, specifically at a place like Rhodes College, is crazy because there's no secret about it. Academics is number one.
No doubt.
And then about 50 feet, and then comes sports at Rhodes College. So that's why I did want to ask you, was there an immediate impact with when you got NIL and how it changed recruiting and your pitch and how to get kids on campus?
Unquestionably, immediate. Immediate. I mean, we were able to offer it up, you know, in our pitch. Hey, we've got a platform for you. Come in here. You know, we're not going to go drum up any business for you, but we're going to give you the platform for you to do it yourself, and we're going to teach you. And then what it's done is it's got our career services involved more, right? So now they're teaching them how to build their resume. They're teaching them how to send their pitch to these companies. And so it goes way beyond just, and so when I'm telling the parents that we're doing this and we're teaming up with career services and they're getting their training here and there, of course, I mean, the families are excited to send them to us because now we're taking it way beyond just basketball. We're making sure that they're well-rounded and they're ready to go when they leave here in 4 years. And it goes beyond just the education that they're getting from Rhodes in the classroom. It's a full life education. And so immediately, I think that our players now are taking full advantage of it. I think they're crushing it. I don't get too involved. I don't ask a lot of questions because all you got to do is go on their Instagram. They're promoting something every day. So they're definitely doing a really good job with it.
Has it been difficult for any of them to find the balance between academics, NIL, and just simply practice?
You know, I think it's at Rhodes, it's difficult to find a balance between academics and sports, no matter what. I mean, we're coming off of finals. Today's our last day of finals. And so it's been a treacherous week and a half of finals for these guys. It's been the hardest since I've been the head coach. I could see it on their faces when I see them, and they've been beat up a little bit. I don't know if it's just, you know, their classes that they're in, you know, obviously more upperclassmen than lowerclassmen, so the classes are a lot harder. So you're seeing the beat down a little bit mentally on them. So that balance has always been tough at Rhodes. We don't really have any issues with the balance of NIL. We don't have any jealousy issues and things like that. There are certain guys that are just really active on it, and the guys that are doing great on it is because they're doing their own work.
Well, because it sounds like you're not picking and choosing who gets the deals.
I'm
you're basically saying, we are empowering you to go find them. So if you want a deal, you have to put in the effort. And you're the type of guy that says, hey, you know, if you put something into it, you'll get something out of it. So
Absolutely. If
you don't put any effort toward NIL, I don't want to hear it.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it. That's good, though, that it's not causing jealousy in the locker room. Because I do think that we are in this wild, wild west era of NIL right now. And you and I have always been proponents of it. We always wanted these players to be able to make money, because when you go through the history of college sports, you see millions, billions of dollars being made from these student athletes. And they just haven't had any power to do anything with it. So that is why when NIL happened, I think everybody can agree it was a good thing for college athletics. Since it happened, though, we have kind of lost the plot a little bit with it. You have a lot of experience at D1 and D3. Do you have any solutions or ideas of how to rein this in a little bit while still maintaining power for the student athletes?
I mean, I don't know if I have great ideas. I have my own ideas. You know, I don't know that NIL is a problem. I think we got to take a step back into seeing what the real problem is. And then we want to empower the student athlete. So let's take a look at how do we empower the student athlete and hold accountability as a precedent as well. And I think it goes to, we got to shore up the transfer portal.
Right.
Wild, wild west piece, right? I don't think it's NIL. I mean, obviously people are jumping in the portal to see what money they can get and to see what offers they get. But here's the thing. Let's call it what we are. With NIL, we're semi-pro in a sense, or just straight up pro basketball, right? Just call it what it is. So let's get the contracts. Let's move forward with contracts for these student athletes, right? If I'm going to offer this student athlete X amount of money to do this, there should be a contract and lay it all out, and it needs to be a multi-year deal. And if that person wants out, there's a buyout, just like there is if a coach wants to leave, right? And so I don't know that it's the there's so much more to it than just that simple. But I think if we just take a simpler look at it and say, okay, let's agree. Like, I'm agreed to an X amount of year contract as a coach. You're going to be in one as a player. I don't think there should be more than 2 years, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to figure out a way, because you know you were just talking about the quarterback from Memphis, right?
Yeah.
What an incredible young man, right? I've only met him one time, but did a great job and was very loyal to Memphis, and that's something that is lost in college athletics, right? Right. If you're a fan of a certain school, you're relearning the roster every single year, and so there's no more favorites. Right, it's hard, and that's what the purity of college athletics was—the
pageantry.
Yeah, and so we got to figure out a way to get to that at the Division I level. And I do. I think that I don't know how many coaches. I haven't really had this conversation with a lot of coaches. I've had a conversation with Tubby about it a little bit.
We're gonna get there in a second.
And he's kind of agrees with me on the contract thing, but we both know it's so much harder to get to than that, but. I think that there's a way to get to it because, correct me if I'm wrong, these big-time Division I athletes, they have NIL agents.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That are absolutely probably just killing it too, right? Which is great, right? Right? And there's so many people. The economy is boosted by this.
There was an issue with one of them at Memphis this season, which I had Tyreek Smith. That was a whole ordeal. It's what was agreed to and how much money was paid when and all of these things.
Yep.
And it is just, it's a whole new skill set that these universities and schools are having to deal with. And that is why, for you, how much did it change your day-to-day job? Because do you now have a certain time of the day where you say, I have to deal with NIL here or check in on my guys, or is it because of the system y'all have set up at Rhodes that it really is players have just been empowered to do it themselves, and if they need advice they'll come find you?
That's what it is now, but on the front end of it was a lot, right? I mean, and kudos to Kim House for setting it all up, and
she's a beast,
and she just absolutely crushed it with getting, but there was a lot of time spent getting the actual platform set up on the front end. But now it's a well-oiled machine That takes care of itself. I basically just answer questions as they come at this point with it. But in the end, it has been a absolute dream for these student athletes. And really, I can't be more of a proponent for NIL. I mean, I mean, you and I had conversations in my office about this when it was really kicking in, and we would go back and forth because we'd have different opinions. But at this point, I think it's shown how great it is for the student athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think the Tubby Smith comment that you just made was really interesting because he is a coach of a different era.
Correct.
So how has he viewed this new era of college athletics? Has he been in favor of? Because it does seem like Tubby was always the type of guy that did want to empower his players. He just had no ability to. But it is when he looks at it now, he has to be like, the sport I was coaching is no longer in existence.
Well, I don't think he looks at it like that. I think he's really excited for the student athletes. I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing more that hurt him to see when a student athlete was struggling, whether it was just, they ran out of swipes on campus at a meal plan for the day or whatever.
Right.
They were having to scrounge up $8 to go to McDonald's drive-thru, right? And because legally, he wasn't able to go buy him a meal at that day. That's just crazy, right? That's the absurd part of where it was. Now, eventually, NCAA changed some rules, and you could do unlimited meals and whatever later on. But with the end of the day, he loves the fact that these student athletes get the opportunity to build their own brand and really go out and be entrepreneurs, in a sense, with their brand. I don't think he looks at it like that it's a different world. I think he's just it's an additional staff piece.
It's more of an evolution.
Yeah, and so we talked about it. We talked about, and not that I'm saying that I was ahead in my thoughts, but I told Coach, you know, he's around a lot, by the way. We talk almost every day.
Oh, able to meet Tubby working there was like, I basically froze. I was like talking to a living legend.
He's around a lot, right?
He's around a lot.
And so we were talking about it, and I said, Coach, if I were a Power 5 head coach, I would hire a general manager of my program.
Uh-huh.
And that's before it became popular to have a general manager. And then he was like, that's what it is. It's adding that piece to your office. Have your own front office that runs the business side so the coaches can coach and take care of that part. And then the business runs to the business part. And then the coaches come, the head coach or the associate head coach comes together in the meetings they have to. That's where he's looking at it from, and that's where we got to in a lot of our conversations about it. And over nothing but water and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, absolutely.
No bourbon or tequila.
No, no, definitely not.
But it's been great to see. You know, here's the thing about Coach. I love to tell people the story. I have Coach calls me once a week to tell me to back off the guys. Tubby Smith, the guy that...
To be fair, we got to hold you back sometimes. Yeah, we did.
But Tubby Smith, the guy that was known for the stare down for his entire career, the most intense person you could ever be around, is telling me that I got to back down. So it's funny. Like, he's completely, you know, he's watched so many games from afar, and he has adjusted so well. And like our guys, my guys absolutely love him. I mean, they can't wait to see him again, right? And so he's adjusted well, and I think that part of that is time away. You know, he's got time away and got to see and be around a lot of different programs, talking to a lot of different athletes and basketball players around the country, and he's really evolved into really accepting the new era of college basketball.
It's got to be a hell of a pitch for you too when you're sitting in the living room with parents and a player, and you're saying, listen, we were the trailblazers of NIL and D3. Rhodes is in a basketball city, lives and breathes basketball here.
One of the best basketball cities in the country, if not the best, right?
It's also Hogwarts. It looks gorgeous.
It is.
It's one of the most beautiful campuses in the country. Every single year it gets top 20. And then you get to say, oh, by the way, Tubby Smith's going to be around every once in a while.
It's not bad to have him as a consultant daily, right?
Yeah.
And so, especially for the parents. The parents, you know, sometimes the kids, they don't necessarily know who he is, but the parents are really excited. Dads get really excited about hearing that the coach is around a lot. And so, but the biggest thing for me is, you know, I've got a national championship coach with 700 wins or whatever it is, basically on staff, right? I get to call him daily. He watches every game. I should pull up a text and show you. Daily notes. If it's not daily, it's every other day. And every game, he's got 3-4 pages of notes because he's making notes as he's watching it live. Halftime. If I don't check my phone at halftime, man, I'm getting an earful after the game. You know, but it's just great. You know, he's literally an extension of the staff, and it's great to have him.
How did you come to meet Tubby?
Man, you know, I was a student manager at Kentucky. So, long story short, I just harassed the University of Kentucky basketball program for about 6 months straight to become a student manager. And, you know, basically year one, we hit it off, got a full ride after that. Full scholarship to maintain that position, and shoot, like I told people, I was on a full ride for the next 17 years. You know, Coach took care of me forever, and helped me land the job that I'm in today.
Final question for you: I do want to ask you because Rhodes is considered the Harvard of the South, and we have talked about how academics is number one there, and it can be difficult to get into Rhodes, no doubt about
it.
Is that an obstacle for you trying to get student athletes there? And how has NIL changed that conversation? Because you're saying, okay, we can offer you money. It's hard to get into here. But when you come here, you have to focus on academics, without a doubt. That is number one in your life will be those academics.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely – it poses its own set of challenges.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that no. But you know that on the front end. So you know that when you're going – out to leave to go recruiting, right? When you're going to the events and you know who you're talking to and you're looking at ahead of time. So really what it is a question up front. You know, what's your GPA? How important is academics to you? And if, you know, if there's a pause in there or there's that they don't meet a certain number right up front, you know you got to move on, right? And there's nothing against them. It's just the way it is. And Rhodes isn't going to change their academic standard for a basketball player or a football player or anybody else. And so, yeah, I mean, but at the same time, you're also going to get a very, very bright young man that is usually very coachable and is going to accept what it is. And, you know, we tell everybody, part of our program is, I tell them this on their recruiting visit, right at the very end of our big pitch in the office, I said, look, you're going to get coached hard. Number one, you're going to get coached hard. If you want like to be coached hard, don't come here. Just don't do it. It's not even an option. Like, I bring them in to watch practice so they know they're going to get coached hard, so they see it. And I put on a really good show when there's running recruits in the gym because I want them to understand. And then, the main focus is that we're going to love the hell out of you too. Like, you're going to be loved more than you're coached hard. But we tell them, You're always, when you're part of this program, no matter what, for 4 years, you're guaranteeing to us and you're promising us, and this is a contract. We make him sign the contract every year. It always goes family first, academics second, and basketball third, from October to the end of March. You know, end of March through beginning of October, there's other things that are important, internships, your career that you need to work towards and whatever. But during that time, it's going to be always family, academics, then basketball. And we stand true to that. And so we hold that, you know, we hold them to a very high standard. Our structure through the season is, I mean, undoubtedly.
Regimented.
It's very, very regimented. And so we make sure, you know, we got 100% graduation rate. We've never had any issue. Right. And if admissions, we have to have conversations to get certain guys in or whatever it might be, we guarantee them they're going to, like, we promise you with our study hall hours and what we make them do with tutors and their group meetings and whatnot, everything, we have their schedule laid out. They're going to be successful at Rhodes. Part of that is just what I've learned at the Division One and working for Coach Smith. And it was very regimented daily, you know, and I tell it, we jokingly tell the guys, like, your time is our time during the months of October to March, and we're going to make sure that you're taking care of your business. And so, yeah, undoubtedly it's hard. It's hard, and we know, but we take a lot of pride in that too, and we want it. We take pride in, because we've turned a corner. We're pretty successful at this point. So it's been a challenge, but it's been a fun challenge.
Zoe, this is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Man, it's been great. It's great to see you in here, man.
Yeah.
You're killing it. We love you, man, and we're so proud of you at Rhodes. We really are.
Thank you so much. I'm rooting for you. I can't wait to see what y'all can do when you get healthy, when you get some reinforcements back. I feel like y'all are going to go on a run here a little bit.
I do, too. We got a big game at noon on Friday. We're going to have some elementary school, middle school kids in the building, our education day, but big game. So hopefully we can get into that 6-5 category and get it rolling a little bit.
Yes, sir. Best of luck, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Zoe Goodson, head basketball coach over at Rhodes College. You can find him on Twitter at Zoe Goodson. Make sure you go out there, check out some Rhodes basketball. Support all of Rhodes sports, by the way. A lot of great student athletes over there. Shout out to all my student workers who are still there. Miss y'all very much. When we come back, we will have David Cobb from CBS Sports on to preview the Memphis Tigers game tonight against Virginia. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on 929 FM ESPN.